some of these lessons are like there's the question of like, you know, the trauma that people went through, and then there's the question of like, you know, the solidarity in our resistance. And then there's really like, it just made me think about like what you said about, you know, or what when we were talking about what a threat it was that like these movements were coming together. And I'm thinking like really, you know, this could really be like a positive, you know, sort of lesson or like a roadmap for like what to do in the future when like, you know, when the opportunities arise, like as far as like having a revolutionary vision, like what are the tools that we can use again, you know? Like, even with the spokes councils, I think that was the only time. It was that in A16. Like, I don't think I ever experienced spokes councils since, but, like, different things that we can bring back in the future and just, like, sort of celebrating some of the... So how far we got, you know?
Right. You know, I dig it. You know, I totally dig what you're saying because I feel like... Like, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of folks went through a lot of trauma and, like, you know, I mean, it's hard to look back at that time because it was, like, because right afterwards, like, I think that people, like, in SLAM, like, went on this kind of, like, deep break, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. folks got really reflective, I felt like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, because people went through, like, a lot of trauma, you know? And, like, so people got really reflective. And, like, and it was unfortunate because, like, a year after this happens, Bush gets in the office and then 9/11 happens. So the whole entire tone and strategy of the world changes. You know what I'm saying? And I think that people, you know, I think if I would compare now, back then to now, I think back then people were a little bit more patient with each other. You know what I'm saying? Even though we were driving each other, like, insane.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, we were like, you know, this person's my comrade. This person's my sister, my brother, you know? You know? And we're going to try to work something out, you know? Because there were some difficult people within our own affinity group. But we never, like, kicked them out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we struggled with them. And I feel like now, you know, I'm not exactly sure... You know, I think that level of patience needs to be renewed. And I also think that one of the things that we get is just through, like, just the human contact and the talking. I mean, it's also very funny that this stuff happened, like, when the Internet was under this very formative stage. You know, like, so, like, we didn't have Facebook around to organize these actions. You know, I'm saying we did use the Internet, though. You know, like message boards or whatever, but not as much as, you know, now, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, so the focus was pretty much on the face-to-face. Hager said something to the effect of the arduous patience laboring of the negative, you know, that patient work of, like, being together, eating together, talking to each other, struggling with each other, you know, and learning from each other, you know? Because it was, like, something really kind of, for me, like, the Dan folks had a lot of access to information in terms of, like, doing this type of work and doing this type of, like, you know, civil disobedience, you know, and direct action. But what we brought to it, too, was this level of direct action, but we also brought this analysis that connected, like, you know, feminist critiques and like, you know, racist critiques to the globalization agenda, you know. And then, like, then you had the peace movement with whom, like, I don't think you can really talk about, like, the R2K without talking about the Quakers. Because the Quakers were the ones who were, like, staffing the lounges. So when I got out of jail, like, I had a place to go and food.
The Friends Center, yeah. And they gave us an office for jail solidarity that we had for 2 or 3 weeks.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So people could come in and be like, you know, eating food and, you know, resting and, like, drinking juice or whatever, you know? Like, you know, and it, you know what I'm saying? And that part itself was amazing, you know? And, like, I think that those are the type of things that happened when you, and I felt like that's what happens when you have a movement, you know, of folks moving forward, you know?
Yeah, just being able to really cover different areas of the work and the analysis, like, and then bringing it together in a respectful way, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, and folks really kind of jamming in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt very good.
Did you say jamming?
Yeah, jamming.
Yeah.
Saying it was just like, you know, because I remember afterwards, like, I don't know how this happened, but, like, you know, somebody had approached us. I think it was me and Anna. And they were like, you know, we want you to say something to this Quaker group about what the work has meant. Because I think they had the Quaker convention or, like, a Friends convention meeting or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was weird because I hadn't got out of jail. And I was still waiting for folks to come out. And I was like, hey, you know, and they were like, oh, you know, you should speak in front of these Quakers. You know, while I was talking, I told the Quakers, I was like, look, you know, you guys are, like, really living up to the word of the Bible. Like, y'all, like, welcome some folks in that you don't have to ever know. They appreciated that, you know? And, like, and I appreciated them immensely, you know, and I appreciate all the friendships I formed over these years. I mean, some of the folks that who I went to R2K for, I see them at demonstrations now and again. You know what I'm saying? We still talk and we still hang out, you know? I think that was a very, like, moving experience for many of us, you know?
Yeah. I always thought we were going to get a chance to, like, really practice some of the tactics and strategy we were using and, like, really get better at it and, like, keep going with it. But in some ways, I feel like people also, like, after 9/11, people returned to more, like, community organizing and sort of building, even if it wasn't as militant, maybe, like, deeper roots of organizing. And, like, maybe that could be, like, some of the groundwork for really next time there's, like, a really militant upsurge, having more, like, more of a deeply rooted base.
I think that's the lesson that we need to learn is that you know, direct action is so central to the work of dismantling state and dismantling capitalism. Direct action done correctly can foster solidarity across racial and gender lines. And that's something that we definitely learned. We really need to maintain, like, the sense of communication and national network. And be very innovative in terms of strategy. I think that one of the things that we consistently talk about, we consistently go back to Seattle, you know, but, like, you know, the world has changed in Seattle, and they're learning, the police state's learning curve has increased in Seattle. What are we going to do in terms of, like, reimagining, like, our tactics, you know, and consistently be moving in terms of our tactics, you know? You know, and those are things we need to focus on. And what are those issues? I still think that the prison issue is a big issue to us because, like, when you talk about prison abolition and you talk about prison, like, restorative justice, you're really talking about, like, how do we provide solutions to the society? We have a situation in New York State where New York State is a leader, the more mentally ill people in New York State prisons there are in hospitals. Like, you know, they you basically have a society that's just dealing with issues of mental health with jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, prison abolitionism, restorative justice really looks at how do we shift those paradigms, you know, into a more, you know, liberatory practice. And, you know, and also this liberation within a society, you know. And I think that's some of the stuff that we got out of R2K. You know, out of R2K, too, also came the birth of Critical Resistance East. The Critical Resistance East Conference happened right after R2K. And all these other great, like, prison abolitionist work, you know? You know, so I think that is also something that was very important for us, you know, saying as political work, you know, because I think that it did help foster, you know, regional and national conversations on race and incarceration as well. It also taught us the way in which we can also, like, practice solidarity, you know, with social prisoners, you know. You know, I wasn't involved in general population organizing, but I think that, like, for us to talk about prison solidarity, one thing we learned was that, you know, in order for us to talk about it, we also have to be there as well. You know, I think that one thing you notice that they've cut all these programs, education programs in the prison, and it's not just to deny prisoners the process of growing, but also deny them contact, you know, with people on the outside, you know, because you had a situation in, like, the 70s and the 80s where, like, folks were going into prison all the time doing prison work.
Right, and this separates, it's like their whole thing of, like, they not only disrupt the communities on the outside by sending so many people away to prison, but then they, like, isolate people from communication to where those movements are disrupted also.
Exactly. You know? So those are some of the things I'm just kind of thinking of right now. You know, it's like the prison workers, and, you know, and there's something I'm thinking about now too, because I'm thinking about doing more prison solidarity work now.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's been a while for me, you know, but it's also been something I've been kind of wanting to focus on. You know, it's been coming more and more into my consciousness, you know, the more I think about it, you know?